Yeah, if it was up to Morales, we would literally talk zero sports at this station.
Again, Morales in on Camp 710.
Oh yeah, he'll be a ringleader.
He's the guy at the camp that basically tells everybody what to do and where to go.
Well, that's because he can't do anything else himself. He's carrying a little extra weight these days.
I'm not getting in on that particular portion of the discussion.
I'm banned from discussing his weight.
Oh, I see.
Why? Was that a part of the deal when you guys became BFFs and drank that night?
No, he came to Lisa. When he met Lisa, he said, "All your husband does is talk about my weight." And he said it to her three times.
Wow.
So she goes, "You really need to stop talking about his weight." So now I don't.
Oh, you got scolded by the wife.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all we got to do is get to Lisa to get to you then. You listen to her.
Oh, so that's our route for Camp 710.
She hates camping,
too.
Yeah,
but she might like it enough to make
you
go.
She might want you out of the house.
Yeah, that's the idea.
That's true.
That is very much the idea.
Okay, so... This is interesting because I actually think this makes sense for both teams. Now, whether it'll happen, I have no idea. But Adrian Wojnarowski dropped a Woj bomb this morning. He says the Boston Celtics have emerged as a team that wants to trade for Kevin Durant. And included in the piece, in the trade to get him, would be Jaylen Brown. The Celtics also have tons of picks. They could put Marcus Smart in the deal. If Kevin Durant were to go to the Celtics with Jason Tatum and Time Lord and Malcolm Brogdon and all those, wouldn't that make the Celtics hands down favorites to win the NBA title next year?
I guess, but I can't, John, you can't legitimately tell me that you think a guy who's been around the NBA as long as you have, that Kevin Durant going to the Celtics is, for lack of a better term, smart competitive strategy. If you're an NBA team, you just went to the finals. Your team finally kind of figured it out. And then you trade for Kevin Durant, who's on the other side of an ACL injury and getting up there in terms of what the age number is. Like, if I was a Celtics fan, I would be furious if they blew up the team after getting as far as they did for Kevin Durant. I really would. It doesn't make sense to me.
Let me be more specific on what Woj thinks the package would be.
Okay.
He says it would include Jaylen Brown and as many as three unprotected first-round picks, 25, 27, and 29, and two pick swaps, 24 and 26. If that is all they had to give up, if they didn't have to give up Marcus Smart, okay, think about that team, Clinton.
Sure.
All of a sudden, you have Malcolm Brogdon and Marcus Smart in the backcourt, a front line of Jason Tatum, Time Lord, and Kevin Durant. Who beats that team?
Again, everybody thought that was going to be the case this year for the Nets, right?
That's true.
I mean, and that team was flat out not good, even when they did play together. I don't buy the notion that, and I think this is something that we've seen a decent life cycle in the NBA of put a guy on your team and all of a sudden your team's better. Chemistry be danged. Those days are over. I think we saw the beginning and the end of that era in terms of, number one example, Russell Westbrook. You just can't do it that way. And I'm not saying that team would be bad, John. I just feel that there's something to be said for squads that build together, grow together, and win together. And I don't mean that in a toughness way. I mean that in an actual effectiveness of team way. Not because it's not that players should be allowed to bounce around. That's just not a deal I would ever make if I was the Celtics. I think that Kevin Durant right now is a player who... yeah, you build around him well, but I don't think you can have a guy of that magnitude just walk into your locker room and not expect to have a lot of time adjusting to just who the guy is, never mind the basketball they play.
How much time did it take the Warriors to adjust when Durant went in there?
That's a different story, man. The Warriors are culture. They are the number one example of culture, and so it worked there. That's probably the one franchise I could see that happening at. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the Celtics, with a GM who used to be a coach and a rookie head coach, or rather he's in his second year now, that's you're putting too much at risk for what you built, in my opinion, to take that trade seriously if you're Boston.
If you could get him for Jaylen Brown, three first-round picks, and two pick swaps.
That's too much to me.
You're basically trading Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant, which to me you do every day and twice on Sunday. The picks you don't worry about because they're loaded and they're going for the title this year. Even if they hang on to all those picks, they're going to be drafting at the end of the first round anyway, and most of those guys are hit and miss. You have to do this if you're Boston.
I guess. So, and here's the thing to your point, Ireland, is that we're watching, we got these TVs on the screens right now. We're seeing Jaylen Brown tweeting about it himself. There's an argument that you've already done damage in terms of in your locker room with the attitude you portray. Like, Jaylen Brown is a big part. This is a tactical error by the Celtics, in my opinion, to let this leak before it happens. I really actually believe that in terms of keeping the guys.
Well,
on the
you don't know if the Celtics leaked it or Durant's camp leaked
either
it.
Way. Yeah. I don't think that the Celtics made the right decision if they decided they wanted this to get out because this guy was just too much a part of the team to say, oh, yeah, guess what? We're going to deal you. Can I
tell you something about that, though? I've been working around the NBA for 30 years. I can count the amount of people on one hand who've never been in a trade rumor.
Right.
They're all in trade rumors. And you mentioned Russell Westbrook.
It's not a trade, but it's a similar situation in terms of dropping somebody in.
Well, you tell me. I'm assuming that Russ is going to be here when the season starts.
I don't think he will.
Why?
Because I think they're going to pay him not to play. I think it's going to be a John Wall kind of situation.
You don't think they'll trade him?
I think I am stunned that there is as much interest in him as there
is. Well, let me get to that.
Yeah.
Shams Charania, who's really good, reported today that the Jazz, Knicks, and Pacers have expressed interest in acquiring Russell Westbrook. We knew about the Pacers.
Yeah.
We didn't know about the Jazz, and we didn't know about the Knicks. Explain to me what the Knicks are thinking.
I don't know. I mean, Greg's got this whole complicated matrix of things that explains why the Knicks want to get involved, but I'm not really sure I understand that, Greg.
Bergman, why would the Knicks want Russ?
I don't think they do. I think they want Donovan Mitchell. So the people that are involved are the Jazz, the Knicks, the Pacers, and the Lakers. So it sounds like it's going to be some type of four-team trade that they're all going to kind of move pieces around in some way, shape, or form. Because that's the only way it seems like Donovan's going to get to the Knicks and Miles Turner and Buddy Hield.
Well, this is how years ago the Lakers got Dwight Howard the first time. It was a four-team trade involving Orlando and Philadelphia and the Lakers and Denver, and everybody kind of got what they wanted. And I don't know. Every instinct I have says that if this was going to happen, it would have happened already. But maybe Clinton, because of Durant and Kyrie and the uncertainty surrounding those two guys, everything's on hold until the Nets decide what they're going to do with Durant and Kyrie.
Perhaps, but I'm not some crazy old crank who doesn't like watching guys move around in the league. It's not about that. It's just at some point, can we get the product that we were somewhat promised? If they went through all this, I'm talking about the Nets here. If they went through all this time, oh, we gonna be this, we gonna be that. And then by the time you actually get a chance to roll the balls out and play together on a team, you don't do it because one of them's left. That's just disappointing to me as a basketball fan. Never mind a fan who's watching who cares who wins and loses. So, I mean, yeah, I guess you try to get him, but then you're just resetting your clock on chemistry. There's a lot of reasons why I'm not just filling up the coffers every time somebody else comes along to try to get a player.
Well, a little bit of this, too, is it's a game of chicken. In other words, everybody says that the Lakers can't afford to bring Russ back next year because of what happened last year. And everybody says the Nets can't afford to bring Kyrie back because he poisoned that locker room. And, he was bringing him back sends the wrong message to everybody else. So you wonder which team's going to blink first. My instincts are telling me Russ starts the season with the Lakers, Kyrie starts the season with the Nets.
I think they're two different issues. I think, number one, Russell Westbrook presents a different problem to the Lakers than Kyrie presents to the Nets, especially in terms of talent versus leadership. I think the Lakers, the only thing that they can't afford to do is simply deal with the shame of having the guy on the roster. It's not like they're losing anything. You know what I mean? Like, Russell Westbrook doesn't play. That's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things for the Lakers, in my personal opinion. Because when he did play, it wasn't like it was a big deal anyway. Kyrie and the Nets, different matter. Nobody's going to the Staples Center to see Russell Westbrook play. People are definitely showing up at Barclays to see Kyrie play. And, hello, relative to the rest of the team, he's a lot better. Russell's not that player. I do think it's different. I think that the Lakers need to seriously consider the lack of playing time as the only possible avenue towards getting Westbrook to be the player that he wants. Darvin Ham said, we're going to need him to do certain things. If he doesn't do them, you're going to have to sit him. And if sitting him is a problem with him, well, then he might not end up playing at all because he doesn't want to be in a system where he doesn't play when he wants. I think we're getting closer to that than not.
That it could be a John Wall situation.
Correct.
Here.
Paying him not to play, or he's just sitting because he's not doing what the coach wants him to. I really honestly see that. And Greg, frankly, I don't think that's that bad of an option.
No, it's not that bad.
Who plays the point under that scenario?
Under the THT?
Wow, he's not really a true point guard, but
I mean,
he can
Austin
do it.
Reeves is supposed to be a guy that's supposed to bring the ball up
he
the
can
floor.
Do it. Well, LeBron is by default basically like a point forward.
And, you know, you figure it out. You develop a guy, you coach a guy up, because what Westbrook brings you right now is not anything other than just – you know, potential to throw up a bunch of shots and not exactly great defense.
That's not true. You know, he misses layups. He misses free throws. He takes bad three-pointers. He does a lot of things. Whether they're good or not, you know.
All right, I'll give you that. He had a terrible year and he didn't fit. But he played in 78 games and he averaged, what, 17, 8, and 8 or
right.
something? I mean.
But it translated to what?
Exactly.
Right.
I think the experiment is over. And I don't think that there's any reason to play him other than you need the body, and they don't. Doesn't make sense to me at this point. It's too bad, too, because I think ultimately Russell Westbrook is a guy that, in an off-court context, a lot of people really, really like. On an on-court context, a lot of people really, really liked him. But it's not ending well in terms of, I think, what he's showing everybody versus who he, in fact, actually is. And I think that's unfortunate. I don't want this to be another public fight for the entirety of the season. I don't think that's good for the team.
Well, it's not, but you wonder if everybody's just going to retreat to their neutral corners, you know, because everybody's afraid to trade for Russ or trade for Kyrie or what, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. So Netflix has I think it's on Netflix. Let me double check it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is. Has a documentary coming out about Monty Teo. Remember him? The guy who played for Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Who... And the only way you could do this documentary is if you got everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they got everybody. They got Teo. They got the person who catfished him.
Mm-hmm.
This runs a little more than a minute. This is the trailer for the new documentary, which comes out on August 16th. And tell me that this doesn't sound as interesting as hell. This is the Monty Teo story on Netflix.
Manti Te'o had an absolutely astounding senior year. His grandmother and girlfriend, Lene Kakua, had died the same night. He dedicated his season to them. It was an amazing story.
I mean, they were with me, you know. I miss them.
One problem, his girlfriend did not exist.
I don't think anyone can appreciate how big a story it became.
This was a very sophisticated hoax, perpetrated for reasons we can't understand.
At this point, I'm at the Heisman ceremony. I don't know what to think, and I can't tell anybody what's going on.
He'll never say it affected his play, but you could definitely see something was up.
We just thought, what sick joke is someone trying to put on us?
My uncle immediately said, I think you're getting catfished.
Right. Ready, Roman?
Doubt. I created this fictional character, Lene. I totally felt fear. I didn't have courage to just be like, this is who I am.
It became evident that we had a major story.
I was afraid this was going to affect my NFL future.
I don't think he had any concept of how much the media will build you up and then tear you down.
I didn't expect it to blow up so quickly. This is about to hit the fan.
That's when everything went chaotic.
I love you so much.
There were two people. It was crazy.
My whole world changed, and I'm questioning everything.
All right, so Monty Teo is playing at Notre Dame. They're undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing in the national championship game.
Gojo was on that team, I believe. Michael Jr.
And all of a sudden, he finds out that this girlfriend that he supposedly fell in love with is fake, and he has been catfished. All right, so here's my question, Clinton. If you listen to the show a lot, you'll hear me say, you be you. I want everybody to be happy, and
yeah.
You can do it. You know, can you really fall in love with somebody who you've never met?
Yes.
How?
By talking to them. People fall in love with us every day on this radio station. Ding. No, but I mean, in all reality, yeah. I mean, we could talk about this more on the other side, but
okay.
I'll tell you this. when I saw this preview, when I first heard that this movie was going to come out, I was like, what is this even going to be about? You know what I'm saying? Because right. like it, all of it happened in real time. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Like I said, I have friends that played on that team. You know, it wasn't, this isn't ancient history where people are like, oh, right, that happened and this happened. Slow burn kind of thing. This happened right in front of our eyes. And I when I saw the preview, I was interested in it for reasons I did not know I would be interested in for when I watched it.
All right, more on that coming up. Clinton Yates in for Mace. Bergman's coming up with Bobcat before the end of the hour. And remember, at some point today, I'm going to lie. When that happens, if you can identify it at 3:30, you will have a chance to see Real Madrid against Juventus on Saturday at the Rose Bowl. We're giving away tickets all week. We're doing it every day. That's still to come. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the South Park campfire song. Clinton has come up with an idea for Camp 710.
SpongeBob.
Oh, is it SpongeBob?
SpongeBob, yes.
It might be the worst idea he's ever come up with.
Let's review what I think the idea could be that might make it work for John Ireland.
Yeah, I'm out.
Just hear me out on this. Remember how the Mandy's worked? All day broadcast, night event. Remember how the softball game worked? All day broadcast at site, night event. If we did an all day broadcast at the camp where you could be choppered in and choppered out, would you do the show from the camp and then you were free to leave whilst you knew others would be staying behind for revelry, fellowship, and all around hijinks at Camp 710? Would you do that?
I would love to attend, but I'm busy that day.
Oh, alas. You're busy that day.
Come on,
yeah.
John.
No. Travis and I have an all-day golf excursion.
Okay.
18 holes in the morning, 18 more in the afternoon. We wish you all the best.
So one of the places that Emily sent me is this joint called Camp, and that's like literally the name of it. And 4 days in Big Bear. Zero cell phones, computers, and tablets.
Oh, God, right there is a nightmare.
Listen, here's the thing, John. This is normally a nightmare for me. But if I knew we were doing it with, like, people we knew and people that were legitimately in for this, I would be down. Round-trip transportation from Los Angeles, all meals, snacks, and drinks included, including beer, wine, and cocktails. Three nights in shared cabins with bunk beds and all bedding. Each cabin has its own bathrooms and community
lounge. I want you to think about this, what you're signing everybody up for. Mason, naked, in a bunk bed, eating.
That's fine.
Why does he have to be naked?
He will be naked.
Don't ask me. Ask
but again,
him.
The fun part is the sun
he
goes down.
He gets all defensive when you ask him
the
that.
The sun goes down relatively early, and Mason would probably have his own bunk. You think of it this way. Each show would have their own bunk. That means, Greg, you'd have to. I don't know which bunk that would be.
I don't need to be in the same bunk with Mason in Ireland.
And you don't have to sleep in the same bed.
Actually, Ireland wouldn't be there.
Yeah, I won't be there.
Yeah,
so you don't
Ireland's
have to worry
not a
about
part
it.
Of the equation.
But here,
so,
like the poll is there. Up. The poll is up, and right now, absolutely has 74.1%, and no way in hell is at 25.9%.
I ride with the minority no way in hell 25% gang.
Peanut Butter Rainbow says, I have no idea what Camp 710 is, but I'm 1,000,000% there already.
Thank you.
So there you go, Peanut Butter Rainbow.
And the key here is the bunk picking is the whole fun part, because those are the people that you end up having to be with after lights out, and you don't really know what goes on after lights out.
Mm-hmm. Dinner.
Dinner. Yeah, and more drinking, but no. It'll be fun.
That's the thing. There's going to be a lot of drinking. There's going to be a lot of fun. I mean,
Camp 710 is going to be awesome.
Camp 710.
All right, so
we can have a theme song.
Back to this.
Yes.
Manti Te'o thing.
Yes.
Manti.
Yeah, I haven't said that name in years. Manti Te'o.
Right.
Bergman, am I being insensitive to suggest that it's weird to fall in love with someone you've never met?
No, I don't think so at all, because it's just something that I text with people all the time. I'm like, you know, like if I'm starting to date somebody, you text with them. You don't actually see them in person for a little while. It's very easy to do, I would think, especially when it's over a long period of time. And like Clinton was saying in the break, It's about the time frame when this actually came down. What year was that? Early 2000s?
That's the thing that when I turned it on, I didn't realize what I was watching for. I had sort of forgotten that, like, Manti Te'o was roundly mocked and insulted, and people, like, just completely trashed his life because of something that I think now we would consider him a victim for. Like, catfishing was not part of the discussion back then. The whole idea of the fake girlfriend, it feels different now. Like, I feel like I'm learning a little bit more about what actually happened, and I feel like all those insults were not deserved. You know what I'm saying? Like, this happens these days. It happens all the time. MTV has a whole long-running show about catfishing. It's pretty wild to me how far this has come from just, like, a technology standpoint of who we are, Ireland, you know?
Well, think about this, though. Like, back then when it happened, there was no FaceTime.
No.
You could talk on the phone with somebody, and I think they did talk. He had a woman talk for him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you couldn't FaceTime. You couldn't talk to them that way. You couldn't – if you guys were on different parts of the country – that was the only way to figure it out. So I don't know. I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, I just find it – I want to be sympathetic because he seems like a good guy.
He is, yeah.
But I just wonder – I understand he's a victim, to use your word, and that he probably didn't deserve all the criticism he got. But I'll watch the movie, and one thing I'll be interested to see is – I don't think the person that catfished him ever asked him for money. It wasn't a money scam,
no,
right?
Right, and that's kind of what's interesting about this is that, like, why would you choose him and why did it actually go as far as it did? I think it's fascinating because people don't realize sometimes that the lives of a lot of college athletes, it's not just about what happens when you're on the field or what happens when you're at practice. You don't have any free time. You know, if anybody's probably going to get catfished, I would think a person in an isolated situation like being on a major market college football team is actually a pretty good candidate. The only people they really see a lot are their teammates and their coaches. You maybe get some time to see your family, but there's not a lot of that either. Their distractions are aplenty. And so if somebody they like is kind of into them, they're probably going to focus a lot of attention on that without actually paying attention to who the person actually is, potentially.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see it. I think it'll be good. All right, so I want to get onto this story. This is about trash talk and whether or not it's smart or stupid to try and get into the head of your opponent. Are you a trash talker?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we do every day here. My
huge
right.
trash talker yeah. over there.
I'm the same way, but every once in a while I run into somebody and you realize, oh, they're part of that small majority that plays better when they're mad. Kobe was like that.
Yeah.
Played better when he was mad. And it turns out Tom Brady's like that. And Von Miller, when he was playing against Tampa for the Rams last year, found that out the hard way. Here he is on a podcast with Michael Silver talking about why he will never talk trash to Tom Brady again.
We pretty much had the advantage the whole game. And I think it was like midway through the third. I had made a play on Gronk. It was like a screen. He tried to run outside, and I jumped outside to tackle him. And I was just hyped. And I was like, man, they quit. And I'm looking at the offensive line, and I'm like, they quit. I'm looking at Tom. And Aaron had, like, scratched his feet in the ground like he was marking his territory. And I was like, trash his ass. I was like, trash his ass, AD, trash his ass. And Tom kind of looked at me and smirked. And then third down came, and it was an incomplete pass. And I was like, man, they give up. And I'm running off the field. And I look back, and Tom's going for it on fourth down. So I run back out on the field, and he converts the fourth down. And then a play after that, he scores a touchdown. And they just started coming back. And I'm looking at – I'm got my hands on my head, and I was like, see, this is why I don't talk in the game.
Yeah, you're like, it's 27-3. How could Tom Brady ever come back from – oh, wait.
Yep.
Right. What planet is Von Miller living on, bro?
Like, but you just said your nature is to talk trash. How do you know – if you've run into one of those guys that plays better when he's mad?
I'll tell you this. If I run into Tom Brady, I know full well what I'm dealing with. This is a weird admission from Von Miller to think you were running off the field when the greatest of all time was making a comeback. The way that you know is because you watch what's in front of you. Like, to me, games aren't fun to play unless you can talk trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, I live in Venice Beach. My favorite sports movie is White Men Can't Jump. It changed who I am. So there's no world to me in which talking trash is gonna be stupid. But Vaughn, why are you admitting this? Why did you not believe in Tom Brady? Many have tried. Many have lost.
You know they're remaking White Men Can't Jump?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
You are?
Of course.
See, now, when they remake movies, and I'm like you, I love the original, love Ron Shelton movies, think that they're great. I'm scared to death that this is going to be Caddyshack 2.
That's fine. I mean, I listen, there's no attempt to recreate the old. I do hope, though, that what they try to do with it is make a movie for another generation. I don't need it to be for me. You know what I'm saying? The brand of what White Men Can't Jump is, I actually think is, in fact, wildly under-celebrated in the sports community, wildly underplayed as one of the greatest of all time. So if a sequel kind of reminds people of exactly how important that movie was, I'm in for it.
Yeah, the original's still great and still holds up. You know, like, they remade Brian's Song once. It was a complete disaster.
Huh.
Yeah,
Who was in it?
Nobody. And it was like a, you know, the original had James Caan and Billy Dee Williams. Yeah. And, you know, it was
the late great James Caan.
And then the remake was just a disaster. They, you know, I think they did it as like a movie of the week. And it was, you know, the same idea. Make it for a new generation. Some movies are so good, you don't need to make them for a new generation.
True.
I would say White Man Can't Jump might be one of those.
Maybe, but the basketball world has blown up so much. I actually think if you made a movie that was, I wrote about this once. If you made a movie that was just a completely different story, but it was about that kind of tension between people that don't know each other, like, I'm fairly certain, is Blake Griffin supposed to be in this? Wasn't he?
I saw Jack Harlow is one of the leads.
Jack Harlow, I mean, what, Jack Harlow is a random rapper, so I think that's a casting fail. But if you get some actual basketball players in this, I think this could be really fun. Is this a movie you'd see, Amanda? White Men Can't Jump 2?
I don't know. I really liked the original.
Yeah, I'm with Amanda.
I have very low expectations for this movie.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I do too.
I dressed up as Sidney Dean on Halloween 2 years ago for around.
Did you get the right hat?
I had all of it. I had two separate outfits from the movie. I changed at the break. It was fantastic. It's one of the best days of my life on TV. It was a ton of fun. I would do it again.
I always I work with Stu Lance now, and I always give him a hard time because he's listed as being in the movie, because remember when they go over to the apartment, they're watching the Laker game, and Stu and
Chick
are calling
that game.
That's
a great way to get into a movie, by the way.
Yeah, Stu gets residuals for that. All right, coming up next, a former Laker has decided to sell his championship rings for an interesting reason. We'll explain who it is and what he's doing next. Clinton in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shout out, Tim from the OC has responded to your camp idea.
Which
Tim says, not me. I will be on the private helicopter leaving the camp with Ireland, Sedano, and Travis. Been camping twice, hated it both times.
Again.
Love nature, hate camping. Stay strong, Tim. No camping.
That's fine. That's
camping and camp are two different
things. Thank you.
Again, people.
This
let's
is not
get this straight.
The same.
Come back,
and
John.
Camp.
John, come back.
No. Camping is not camp. Please separate the two things. And also, that's fine. You guys don't have to stay.
Yeah, you guys take your bougie asses elsewhere. We don't want you there anyway.
What happens is now
we have an understanding. I'm not expected to be there and not wanted there. Good.
Again,
I'm out.
If we did a day of shows, if you show up for the show and there, you don't have to suffer the indignity of not knowing what happened at camp.
I also
which
love
is
that
the
you,
worst part.
I love that you chose the one comment out of like 50 that was
yeah,
positive.
Yeah, all the positive ones
you.
And John takes the negative one.
Probably because he tagged
lame.
Me.
I'm all in on Camp 710.
And by
I'm
the way, he
already.
Probably lives in like Corona del Mar where you're from. He's
God
Tim
bless
in the
him.
OC, is he not?
Thank you, Tim. If I can get on the private jet with bougie LA Ireland Sedano and Travis and leave at the end of the day, I'll do it.
That's the same guy. That's still Tim from the OC.
Oh, is it?
The same dude. you guys need to dare
how
Ireland
does
to
community,
go.
Like
you go
I said,
for
though, if we got Trav hammered, he would have no idea where he was going. We'd throw him on the
tell
bus.
Tell him we're going to Dodger
fine.
Stadium, and next thing you know, we're in big
put
money.
A bat in his hand. Yeah. And
Travis,
a
is, Travis is going. We can get
yes,
Travis to go.
Travis is not going.
Oh, no. You can say that. We will get
easily get trapped to
absolutely.
Go. Absolutely. Oh, and Bergman wanted me to mention this. Apparently when we played the audio, did we fix it? the audio
yes.
of, okay, so if I play this, it'll play. This was the earlier when we played the altercation in the locker room with Nick Castellanos and the reporter. It didn't play. So
yeah.
This was it. We were debating whether or not this was a stupid question. Here it is.
Did you hear the blues there when you struck out and they played the game there?
No, man, I lost my hearing.
So you didn't hear it?
Come on, man, it's a stupid question.
Why is it a stupid question?
Can anybody else answer that for him? Anybody? Yeah, man, that's a stupid question.
It's not a stupid question. If it's a stupid question, you should be equipped to answer
it. All right. I did answer it.
The answer should be able to handle a stupid question.
We got the answers.
But that doesn't
good.
Mean that I can't say that it's a stupid question.
It wasn't a stupid question. It's a legit question.
If I heard the booze, that's a rhetorical question. Of course it's a stupid question.
Did you
question.
Hear the booze?
That's a stupid question.
We got the answer. We're good. Thanks, guys.
And you should be able to handle a stupid question.
I did.
All right, so you say Castellanos is right. It was a stupid question.
Cue that up again, Jorge, and let's play that first 5 seconds where the reporter comes in with authority, clear diction, ready to talk about what it is that happened at the booze. Oh, wait. He just murmurs. What are you doing, bro? Open your mouth, big boy. This is the big leagues. Mr. Castellanos. Come on. Have some guts. That's why Castellanos got on him. He's like, you're mumbling this little question about the booze. You don't even have enough hair on your chest to actually say something. If you want to say it, say it. If you want to ask it, ask it. Don't intone something that was a dumb question and expect him to go off on it. All four, Castellanos blowing this guy up.
Totally the opposite. I think Castellanos made it a story. And I mean, you've been asked dumber questions than that.
What, such as what?
I mean, if you've been in these scrums.
Yes.
It's just, 90,
and not enough guys get told they're asking dumb questions.
90% of them are stupid
that's
questions.
That's what my point is. And that's why when this guy had an opportunity to say something, he was like, forget it. And the dude even had the nerve. The video is online. The dude even had the nerve to get in Castellanos' face about it. He like took a step toward him, pulled his mask down from below his nose as if to say, I'm ready for business. Castellanos is standing there with his hands behind his back like, are you kidding me, bro? Of course. Everybody can hear the booze except for his old deaf behind, apparently. Anyway.
Okay, so Clinton, former Lakers Slava Medvedenko, who I covered, won two rings with the Lakers, mm-hmm. is selling his rings to raise money for his native Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the 2001 and 2002 teams with Kobe and Shaq, and he has partnered with SCP Auctions, and it's donating the entire final sale price of both rings to support Ukrainian children by restoring sports infrastructure, because he says that a lot of the schools there have been destroyed by the Russians in the war.
Yeah.
And he realized that he wasn't really using the rings. They're just sitting in a safe. So he's going to sell them and give the money to the Ukraine, and good for him. Our buddy David Kohler, who runs SCP Auctions, says that both rings will raise at least $100,000. So good for Slava. But here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered about people that buy other people's rings. In other words, so you would yes. have Medvedenko's ring.
Right.
Why is that valuable to someone other than Medvedenko?
Bro, the world of collector superfans
right.
is one that is just beyond me in terms of understanding. People have the most bizarre stuff. And you know what this reminds me of? The OJ case. Because remember, OJ tried to steal his own stuff back from people who had his stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he did it at gunpoint and got locked up for armed robbery.
Like, that whole world is just beyond me. And I really commend Slava Medvedenko for doing this. You know what
I
I'm
do
saying?
Too.
Like, this is actually a
good
really,
for him.
Really cool thing to do. Because those rings don't, I mean, you know, listen, they're not going to take away any of the value of what you did. What's the point of the ring? You're actually trying to do this for a good cause. But I am not even close to a memorabilia guy. Like, I don't need
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Matter of
anybody's.
Fact, as somebody who's been around that game for a while, you'll hear all the time, well, it includes a certificate of authenticity.
As if that means anything
right.
to me. Yeah.
If you're going to fake somebody's signature, why wouldn't you just fake the certificate of authenticity? I mean, if you're in it to be duplicitous, then, I mean, you're in all the way, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't get it. That's I mean, I'm trying to think of the last thing of a player's that I wanted that I actually tried to pursue.
Like Kohler, David Kohler, the guy who runs SCP Auctions, mm-hmm. has a room in his house down in Laguna Niguel. I've been there. I've done a couple feature stories down there called the Laker Room, where he's got this incredibly cool stuff. He's got Kareem's goggles from when they won the title in 88. Right. He's got jerseys and pieces of the floor and Chick Hearn's microphones. It's really cool. It's like a Laker museum.
I like that stuff. Yeah.
It would never be me.
Right.
I don't understand the value of having someone else's stuff, but it's a huge industry.
I do keep a lot of the mementos from various like baseball tournaments. You know, like
but those are your
right,
memories.
Exactly. No, I'm with you. They're my things. Yeah. That's why I have them. I like it. By the way, update from the tweets. Camp Catalina Island also has resort experience and a helicopter option instead of arriving via boat and departing by boat, John. Camp Catalina.
I'll miss you guys when
chopper.
You go to Catalina.
In a chopper.
For Camp 710.
Just saying.
Sorry, I'm going to miss
it. We're making
this
happen. It's going to happen next year. Travis is going to go. You're going to be the only one that doesn't show.
Excellent.
Why are you excited about that?
I will wear that as a badge of honor.
This one
the camaraderie amongst all of us.
Yes. Yeah. Casper Villa says, I worked in an adult camp affiliated through UC Berkeley. It was the absolute best time ever. We threw themed cocktail parties every night before dinner and had daily events like Capture the Beer and the Beer Olympics, followed by a huge party at the end. Tons of fun. Exactly. What's not to like? Amanda's over there with her hands in the air.
Who doesn't like beer either? I mean, come on. Beer Olympics?
Yeah. Have fun. That might get Travis there.
Beer Olympics. That will get Travis
Beer Olympics.
There.
Exactly.
But I'm going to encourage Travis.
We need a play-by-play man for it, though. So.
No, Travis to stick to his guns. Well, like I said, I'll go if Michael goes.
Yeah.
you guys enjoy yourselves.
Can you imagine Michael and John calling a live Capture the Flag game in front of them?
That would actually be really cool.
That would be amazing.
That would be super fun.
Yeah, John, would you go to call the play-by-play?
No.
But then you can leave after.
Anything that has the word camp or camping in, I'm out.
What if it's at just a field? If we just did this at a field, you would do
it. A field day sort of situation.
Does it include the words camp or camping?
No,
we won't call
field
it camp
day.
Or camp.
Field day.
We'll just call it field day so you show
up. We're going to go have a field day.
No, I'm so bummed I won't be available
camp
that day.
We're going to make sweatshirts and Scullies. It's going to be sweet.
By the way, did you see the ESPN Los Angeles tweet where, because Clay was drinking that beer, and he drank it really fast at the Dodger game yesterday. And then they showed Travis drinking three beers before Clay finished his
side by side.
Okay, if there's some of you guys haven't learned yet, trust me on this. You're not beating Travis Rogers in a chucking contest.
No, that's not happening.
Many have tried. Bergman, you are among them.
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
It is. If you want to embarrass yourself, challenge Trav to a chugging contest. Because, like he says, there aren't a lot of things he does great. That he does.
He blows everybody away.
Yeah, and he's unbelievable at it. All right, speaking of Bergman, we'll get him in here next. And we'll do a little Bobcat. Reminder, lie of the day is happening today. If you can identify my lie, may have told it already, maybe telling it in the future, you can get soccer tickets to see Real Madrid take on Juventus Saturday at the Rose Bowl. So we're giving those away, too. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so did you see Devontae Adams' comments over the weekend that caused a little bit of a stir? He said, anytime you change quarterbacks from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. He tried to clarify it and say that he meant even in those situations, and not that Carr was a Hall of Famer, although he could be at some point. What do you think of Devontae's comments?
So he called Derek Carr a Hall of Famer.
Yes, but he tried to clarify it saying that he wasn't saying that. He was just saying in any situation, even in Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer situations, there's going to be an adjustment. But yes, he called him a Hall of Famer.
Derek isn't yet, and I'm a Raider fan, but he's better than you think he is. Look at his numbers. Oftentimes, he's the only reason the Raiders are in games. Because he throws for a ridiculous amount. It's not ridiculous, Clinton, to suggest that he could be there one day, but he's not like Aaron Rodgers. You can't look at his body of work so far and say, based on that, he's in. You can say that about Aaron.
He's also currently the worst quarterback in the division. I'll say it.
No, he's not.
To me, he is. You know. But I don't really understand what his point is. How would he know what it's like to transition from Hall of Fame quarterback to Hall of Fame? How would anybody know? When's the last time that happened? You know what I'm saying? You don't just have people playing for random Hall of Famers all over the place. That's a weird comment. I don't get that.
By the way, is Patrick Mahomes, if his career tragically ended today, would he be a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so. No.
Be pretty close. He's won an MVP. He's won a Super Bowl. He threw, 50 touchdowns in one season. How many years has he played? Five?
I think it's five, yeah.
It probably needs a couple more.
Right. Yeah, it's a body of work. He's not there yet. And it's also, we're in an era where everybody is throwing for 4,000
right.
yards.
Right, exactly.
Russell Wilson, in?
No.
He went to two Super Bowls. One.
Right. A lot of guys have
probably
that.
Not.
Huh. Yeah, not it's me. Interesting. But yeah, you can't say that about Derek Carr yet.
Bobcat.
All right, we like to do some dream analysis on the show every once in a while. So I had a dream over the weekend where I was flying in a cool little two-seater plane to Dubai for a wedding.
Okay.
Yeah, I was flying, and I was the one flying it and going over the ocean in these cool little sand islands.
Who else was in the plane?
Riley was in the plane.
Okay, your daughter.
Yes, my daughter, yes. And it was beautiful. I landed between some palm trees and got out of the plane. Then I realized I didn't bring any luggage whatsoever. So what do you think it means?
You were flying the plane?
I was the one flying
the plane.
You were
piloting the plane.
I was piloting the plane, yeah.
Wow. It was cool. I think that it means you need a vacation at Camp 710 in Dubai. No, I'm
joking.
But I think it means that, okay, so you were in a nice private.
Well,
like,
no, it was like one of those old school, like, two-seaters. Like, there's a person in front and a person in the back.
Yeah, the last time I saw one of those planes was on 50 Shades of Grey, the movie where he was taking Dakota Johnson up in the air. Have you been watching 50 Shades of Grey movies, Bergman?
I've never seen one in my life.
It is, yeah, those planes are
not
rare.
Not one shade.
No, zero.
The other time is, didn't Pierce Brosnan fly one of those in the Thomas Crown Affair?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Flying Rene Russo around.
Those little needle planes. But
so,
I also
Bergman, I think... I think it's clear what it means.
What does it mean?
Think about what I'm saying. In the case of 50 Shades of Grey, Christian Grey, billionaire.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Thomas Crown Affair, billionaire.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
It's driving you to what I've been telling you to look for, an heiress. You need to meet an heiress.
Married
a
once
sugar
for love,
mama.
Once for money.
Somebody you've already married for love. Those days are over. This just tells you that you and Riley deserve to meet somebody filthy rich with their own two-seater plane who gets you invited to weddings in Dubai. Heiress, heiress, heiress.
I like this.
Meet an heiress.
I like this. Sidebar, I saw a guy crash a plane into the ocean a couple days ago. I didn't see this with my eyeballs. I just saw it on TV.
Oh, no.
And the only reason he got saved is because they were having, like, a lifeguard competition on the beach. And there were all these extra lifeguards there who could help the guy out. It was crazy.
Perfect
so,
timing.
So thankfully that didn't happen in your dream.
No.
So that's good.
So the only part that worries me is that I didn't have any luggage. Does that mean I'm not prepared for
it? No, I actually think it means the opposite. I think it means that you're at a phase of your life now where you need to do more sort of no luggage type things.
Ooh.
No parachute kind of activities.
Oh, I like that.
You know, we have all these activities at Camp 710 available.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Have fun. That'll solve all your problems. It's this stupid camp that Clinton's pushing.
Jump out of the plane. No parachute.
You can just land on our tarmac.
Update from Grand Theft Prado. Mm. Ireland, I'm with you. I'm from the hood, bro. We don't do none of that camp or camping stuff. Put me in the AC hotel room with a casino in the lobby. I got you, Grand Theft Prado. Right
funny.
There with you.
How about this one? Beto and Whittier, 710 Camp Catalina is better than the effing Catalina wine mixer.
I wouldn't be caught dead at the Catalina wine mixer. You saw me. I like the $25 wine more than the $100 wine.
It's true.
If we found a camp that had a winery, boat access, helipad for obviously Ireland. This could actually work. I might actually stay two nights if there was a winery on.
You're just
on
a glutton for punishment. Two nights.
With
God, kill me now.
The best.
I don't even like camping, but I love camp. So, you know, that's where it goes.
All right. Go ahead, Jorge.
Okay, John. So I want to hear this from you. There's a debate that these guys want a foosball table back there. Carlos says he wants a ping pong table.
Yeah.
I say a pool table. Greg wants a basketball hoop. What would you want in the back?
Well, an actual hoop?
The back room.
No,
like a
quality Nerf hoop.
Oh, yeah. No, we can get that easy. All right, so it's between foosball.
So what do we need in this
pool
office?
Table. Well, the thing about foosball is more people can play.
Correct.
And you could play doubles in ping pong. Ping pong and pool would take up a ton of space, man. I don't know where we'd put it. I'm leaning foosball, Clinton. How about you?
Yeah, foosball. I mean, I'm the one who suggested it.
Because
apparently Taylor plays a lot. I play a lot, too. Well, I used to play a lot, but we're getting a table. That might have to happen.
Isn't that what Chandler and Joey had on Friends, had a foosball table?
Did they?
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Because anybody can play, and it's easy, and it doesn't take up as much space.
Is it fun for all? Like
Camp 710.
Oh, jeez. Stop, man.
We'll have foosball tables galore at Camp 710.
I'm done.
No, don't be done. Keep going.
Dumbest idea ever.
This is going to be great.
Best idea ever.
Bobcat.
All right, so Minneapolis decided to give someone their own day, which is a pretty cool thing to get. That person is Carl Anthony Towns. Nice player, but his own day? Why do you think they chose Towns as someone to have a Carl Anthony Towns Day in Minneapolis?
This is actually a great question. Carl Anthony Towns has been, by all measures, a little bit of a disappointment. They've only won one playoff game the entire time he's been there, right? Why would you give Carl Anthony Towns his own day?
I think because Carl Anthony Towns is just a good dude. I mean, like, I think that's probably what this has to do with. Like, Carl Anthony Towns, I mean, he was – when I think of Carl Anthony Towns, I think of basically being the face of NBA's COVID issue because he had all those family members who passed
away. Six of them.
He's a big community guy. I imagine this has, in fact, nothing to do with basketball for the reasons you just stated.
Yeah, if that's the case, then I get it.
Yeah.
If it has nothing to do
with – he stayed in Minnesota, you know what I'm saying? People around there like him. I could see how people, you know, want to give him awards for sure.
Bobcat.
All right, we're running out of stuff here. We're already on the sixth question. All right, John Boy Media put out a video over the weekend of a high school player that switches sides of the plate every single pitch.
This is so idiotic.
And it was in Japan. So he goes behind the umpire to show respect every single time, but it was incredibly frustrating to watch. How would you feel about someone switching sides of the plate after every single pitch?
Well, what doesn't make sense about that is that the reason people switch it is to get an advantage of, you know, like I'm a right-handed hitter.
Yeah, a matchup advantage.
Left-handed pitchers, you just see the ball better.
Right.
I taught myself how to switch it when I was young. So I can hit left-handed or right-handed. And I always felt like it was a huge advantage. Why would I take away that advantage by switching on every pitch? You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is up there in the things that annoy the big CY a lot in sports, which is wasting time, okay? Anything that involves an extra whatever this and whatever that oftentimes can just go. Baseball is the worst at that as far as things go. Replays have destroyed a lot of this in terms of the flow of the game in baseball and basketball, as you know. You remember the era, John, of guys walking over to the desk, picking up the TV and turning it around. If you're going from batter's box to batter's box between pitches as an umpire, I'm like, yo, cut that out. I don't have time for this nonsense. Let's play some ball.
Right, but, and I wonder what would happen. Remember there was a guy that had a generic mitt and he could pitch left or right-handed?
Yeah.
Then they just, who finally has
that
to
that I
stay?
Understand from an advantage standpoint. But
yeah, but switching on every pitch takes away the advantage.
I totally agree.
So is he just doing it as a novelty?
No, I mean, that's what he does. He's just every
but why,
single
okay, so
pitch.
If I'm right-handed and I'm up against a lefty,
okay,
that's the matchup I want. Why would I switch to left-handed for my second pitch?
Because you're changing the way that you have to throw to the guy, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you're throwing off the pitcher, but that doesn't seem to add much of an advantage to me. Yeah.
No, it's just very weird. It's more annoying than anything. He walked.
Oh, shocker.
So,
yeah, I'm sure the guy just threw him four balls. Like, get out of here, bro.
Is to get on the
by
base,
the way,
right?
So, Clinton, maybe we asked you about this. I can't remember. I gave Mason a bunch of crap because at the 7-10 softball game, he took a walk.
Yeah, I thought, we can revisit this if you like, but I thought the strategy at the end of the game for that team was not exactly befitting of the mood of the night. Taking a bunch of pitches.
It's a charity softball game. Why are you even looking for a walk?
I tend to agree. I'm not going to say that's the reason why we lost, but that was not.
He blames Kaplan, saying Kaplan's pitches were so bad that you couldn't hit them. But how bad could they be? Beto obviously hit one.
Well, I mean, the point is there, too, is that, like, I mean, is Mace protecting his on-base percentage in case
the
next contract negotiations? Like, what are you doing, bro? Just swing the bat. You're there to play. So that was definitely – listen, on the field at the time, I looked at Travis and I was like, bro, is this really what you guys are doing? And he just sort of turned his back and walked away because he knew – what it was.
Yeah, that's that you got no leg to stand on if you're drawing walks in a charity softball game.
Hey, got him a win. Look who just walked in, too, by the way. There
Beto
he is.
Oh, hi, Beto.
There he is, the game winner himself, MVP.
Bobcat.
All right, so Rasheed Wallace is not joining the Lakers staff anymore. It was said that earlier this summer that he was going to be joining the staff as going to be a hard-nosed piece to help the defense on the coaching staff, and he is not going to join any longer. Why do you think this didn't work out, John?
I'm not 100% sure, but the I've heard a lot of different stories about this.
Okay.
And one, it may, I don't know this for a fact, but I think this may play into it, is that, is he vaccinated?
I don't know the answer to that.
If he wasn't, would that affect you, whether or not you hired him?
I don't think so. No. I mean, I imagine.
I mean, I can't work. If I refuse to get vaccinated, I'm out.
Right.
Lakers fire me.
I don't.
So at the Lakers facility, you need to be both double vaxxed and boosted.
Right.
To be inside the facility.
Yeah. Now, they may have to deal with this with Kyrie if they trade for him. But.
Yeah. I can't. Man. I guess I hadn't even thought of that as a possibility. I mean, you turned down an NBA coaching job and for.
I mean, if that's the only. I don't. I'm not saying that. And I'm not even sure for a fact. I'd heard that. That was one of the things that was being discussed.
I'll say beyond that, this is disappointing. I was looking forward to Rashid being a presence in that team in terms of the just general personality that he brings. I mean, I realize that, like, people kind of think about Rashid in a different way, but, like, that guy knows a lot of basketball. I think this is a bummer. I mean, I don't know who else they had on deck, but yeah. I liked that rumor when it was there.
If, Greg, that's the reason, then I think that he's kind of made his own choice.
Yeah, that kind
of sounds if one, like, for example, anyone who works here –
mm-hmm.
has to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be vaccinated, you're not coming in.
Yep.
Right.
That's just the world that we live in.
I had to do that just to get on the ESPY's red carpet, and that was borderline outside.
Yeah, and so I'm not saying that that's 100% it. I this was a rumor I heard, but
I
if that's part of it, I would understand it.
Bobcat.
So I forgot to do a Kick It Off the Planet, so let's go with this.
Okay.
Apples or oranges?
Oh, man. What are we doing?
If you want a break, just go to...
What are we doing?
Go to break if you want. Come on.
This
late July.
This is about the time when Mason forgot to lie. And he said, I just got an email from Northridge asking me to speak at their graduation. And he said it like 2 minutes before we were doing Lie of the Day.
That was so good,
and,
though. That
and we all immediately called him on it. We went, you forgot to lie, didn't you? And he goes, no. And of course he did.
Right.
You forgot to come up
with
a totally Kick It Off the Planet.
Yep, sure did.
All right, so I don't dismiss your thing.
I'm not answering this, by the way. Just like John is not cooperating with Camp 710, I'm not answering apples or oranges.
Oh, you can.
Boy, oranges have a...
See?
It'd be hard.
A little bit tougher than you thought.
Can't.
Yeah. I would keep the apples, lose the oranges. Because there's too many things that are apple-flavored that are good.
I could lose everything apple-flavored tomorrow, basically. I'm not losing citrus. That's not happening.
Yeah, me too.
What am I going to have?
You're keeping the oranges, get rid of the apples.
Apple
when
martinis.
I was a kid,
no
I used
apple
to.
Pie, no apple pie.
That's
apple
fine. I don't like sweet stuff that much anyway.
Amanda, apple martini.
Oh, yeah, apple martini.
I mean, come on.
Come on, what is this, 2010? Apple martinis?
No, but apple everything.
I don't drink apple
martinis.
Apple
Jolly Ranchers are pretty good.
Yeah,
oh,
you're
yeah,
getting
green apple
flavor.
Green apple Jolly Ranchers, yeah.
Worthy gave me a gummy that is a wicked
apple
that is very good.
Wicked apple. Doesn't exist.
No cider?
Fine.
Yeah, no. Oh, come on, man.
Cider, big camp tree.
Enjoy your cider. Are you gonna play Skyrockets and Flight Afternoon Delight?
Oh, no, don't worry about
cider.
Our playlist. We'll have our playlist that you can hear if you attend Camp 710.
Yeah,
dance party.
I can RSVP now.
Over at the Yates Bunk.
Yeah, if you know what I mean. all right, is that it, Bergman? Okay, coming up, there's been a whole bunch of talk about whether or not the Dodgers should trade for Juan Soto. Juan Soto is here tonight. He's here playing for the Nationals against the Dodgers tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What will the reaction be at Dodger Stadium, and how will Soto handle it? We'll get into that next, 710 ESPN.